May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. No more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
Let's go. May the Lord help us this evening as we turn to his word and read firstly from the second book of Samuel and chapter 7. And we'll read the first 11 verses. The second book of Samuel and chapter 7. And we'll read the first 11 verses. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Now we'll turn secondly to the book of Psalms, and we'll read Psalm 27. Psalm 27. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And finally, we'll turn to the New Testament and the Gospel according to John and chapter 14. And we'll read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And we'll commence reading at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he help us and teach us each now how to pray. O most holy, almighty, ever merciful Lord God, one that seest and knowest all things, one that is ever present everywhere. And even as we gather together in this remote way, many, many miles apart, Lord, come and meet with us, we beg, that we may not be that we may only be apart in one sense, but that we may feel that true unity, that true closeness, that true happiness which thy people feel when they gather together and thou art there in the midst. And thou art an almighty, all-seeing God, and thou knowest how we have come to worship this evening in our own homes, in our homes where we are surrounded by many distractions, where we may have had much going on in our lives this day to occupy our minds, to draw our thoughts away from thee. Oh, but may our desire be, as we sung in that hymn just now, hence vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone, free from all that has occupied us today, free from all that we may worry about tomorrow. Alone, as it were, from all those troubles and distractions, but one with thee. That is what we need, Lord. That is what thy people need. But thou knowest if there are those listening in this evening who have no desire, no need, no thought, are listening in just out of habit, out of custom. O Lord, we thank thee that thou canst quicken a heart in a moment, and that thou canst soften the hardest of hearts. We beg thee, Lord, that each heart listening in this evening may be prepared, a prepared heart, that seed that is sown may fall on that good ground, and that souls may be fed and blessed through thy word. We have much truly to thank thee for. We can worship thee in this way, although it is imperfect. Lord, it is the best that we can do, and we are thankful for it, and truly believe that these times have been blessed to one and another. Lord, thou art not contained within four walls of a building. Thou art not contained within a tent or a tabernacle or a temple. Thou art omnipresent. Thou art everywhere. And we praise thee for it. In a land of great plenty, where we have so much, Lord, may we never forget thy tender mercies unto us, for we are so undeserving of the least of thy goodness. And even at this time, we think of one that is laid aside who should have been preaching unto the friends this evening. Do truly be with him and help him in this affliction that he is having to endure. Lord, he has laboured faithfully for many, many, many years. Do continue to bless his preaching as he is enabled. Then, Lord, if it is thy will, do increase his strength yet again. And do be with his loved ones and his family at this time of difficulty. But, Lord, these are thine appointments. It has been appointed of thee before the beginning of time that this change of circumstances would happen this evening. But may it fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. May it fall out for thine honour and glory, that we may say and see that all things work together for good. For thy people, give us that faith to believe it, Lord, for that is when our faith begins to fail at times, when we are brought into difficult pathways. But Lord, may it be a time of strengthening. When thorns are in our pathway, difficult routes are ahead, may we know that thou art with us through life's journey. We pray for the cause and the congregation at Swavesey, each one of them. Lord, do work in each heart, each and every one. Lord, thou knowest their needs, both providentially and spiritually. Thou knowest where each one is in their life. Thou knowest what they need, when they need it, and how they need it. We often think we know what we need, but how often we have to prove that is what we want. But Lord, thou knowest exactly what we need. Do supply our need, Lord, whatever it may be. And those that are listening in, those who have been isolated for many, many weeks and months, unable to get out, unable to see friends and family, unable to worship thee in thy house, in thy dwelling, the place of worship at Swavesey. Lord, do be with them and be their comforter. Those who are on their own, with no family in the house with them, feeling shut off, feeling isolated. But if thou art with them, Lord, there will be no isolation, for they will have the one thing needful, Jesus. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. Be with those in the midst of life, those who at this time, bearing the heat and burden of the day, much to occupy them, those in business, those in employment, those who may be fearful about their job prospects, those who may even already may be unsure of their next step. Lord, may they realize that thou art with them. And we would pray for those mothers, especially at this time, many who have children at home to educate, which they are not used to. Lord, do help them in it. And as the families are united and have spent that time together, may that be a blessing. May there be that bond and that love and that union, that knitting closer together. Those that educate at home normally, Lord, do be with them. And do be with each one of the children and the young people, those in education, the children who may be fearful, who may have had exams to take at this time or in the coming year, and feel concerned and worried and troubled. Lord, do be with them. Open those right doors for them. Guide them in their steps and cause them to look and to seek thy face while they are young, to lay their concerns and burdens before thee in prayer, and to rest on thee. Be with the deacons there. Help them in their many responsibilities, not only in the giving out of the hymns, which is but a small part of the responsibility, but the many concerns, trials, difficulties, things that concern them, things that they see. Oh, Lord, do help them. Give them wisdom in all that they do. And each of those in the church, do be with them. We are thankful that there has been that increase in past months. So thankful for that. In the time since we last preached unto them. But Lord, do increase them yet, that many may be wrought upon, Lord, to testify of thy grace and thy goodness to poor unworthy sinners. Do be with each of those that labour in thy name up and down this land, those who faithfully preach the gospel. May we see an increase. Lord, that is what we desire, for we live in sad and solemn days. And we tremble, Lord, what may be ahead for us as a nation. Thou hast seen fit to cause this virus to come upon us. Many have been touched. Many lives have been taken. Our Prime Minister even brought so very low, near to death. And yet, Lord, we see no acknowledgement of thee. None whatsoever. We tremble at the lack of repentance in our land. They cannot see that this is thy judgment. And we can see, Lord, possibly great economic effects coming along. Oh, Lord, what it will cause to make this nation turn again unto thee. But that is what we beg, that we may turn again, that we may acknowledge thy might and thy power, confess our national sins unto thee, and repent and turn once again, that the laws of our land may be compatible with the laws of thy word, rather than contrary to it. Lord, that is what we desire. We pray that our leaders will be given wisdom in the steps that they now take. But, Lord, above all, that they may acknowledge thee. In this, we will pray for our Queen also. How sad we were to see the speech that she gave on that Victory in Europe Day, and how so different it was to that of her father. Whether that is how she has been advised, or whether that is truly her heart, Lord, we know not, we judge not, but we tremble at the lack of acknowledgement of thee. No thankfulness to God. Oh Lord, for we have been a land that has been blessed with peace for so many decades, and we fear it has led to lack of real, true spirituality and prayer. Religion, real, true religion. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us still. But, Lord, what we pray for our nation, we must pray for ourselves. Cause us each, Lord, to repent unto thee. Repent and confess our sins. For, Lord, we are poor sinners. Search our hearts, Lord. Cause us to see that which we are doing wrong. Make us to flee from those sins which do so easily beset us, that we may once more, Lord, have that closer walk with thee. Give us that real union and communion with thee. Lord, we beg. And Lord, if that is the case, there will be that godly increase. There will be souls wrought upon. But, Lord, how have we offended thee? Lord, may we search our hearts. May we be given a true spirit of worship. May we be given, Lord, more grace, more love one to another. Lord, for that is what is contained in thy word. There must be that love. May we see more of it. Lord, do we pray, be with us each. And as we have prayed, Lord, already, thou knowest the needs of each one here this evening, how each one has come. But Lord, we desire that thou wilt come. May we truly know the power of the Spirit in our midst this evening. So far separated, but Lord, do draw us near. Draw us near to thee and to one another. Hold one another up in prayer now, for we each so need thy help. Do empty this poor man of anything that is of self, and do pour in thy precious truths, that I may be enabled to pour them out unto the friends listening here this evening, that which is preached may not just hit the natural ears and bounce back off, but that they may enter, sink deep right into the heart, and abide and remain and penetrate and do good. That seed sown may bring forth fruit, and bountiful fruit also. So, Lord, do come now. Come and bless us in our worship. Truly, Lord, we so need thee. We so need thee. Lord, come and help us each. That which I have forgotten to pray for in my weakness, may it have been prayed for by those that are listening in. May our prayers now unite together as one. And dear Lord Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, do intercede for us, that our prayers may be accepted, heard and answered. Forgive anything that I have asked of this, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, both in preaching and hearing of the word. I'll draw your attention to the psalm that we read, Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Well, we have the psalmist David here pouring his heart out before his God. We know not at what time in his life this psalm was written, but one thing we do know. One thing did he desire, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That was the psalmist's desire. Is that your desire, dear friend? Is that the one thing above all things that you desire? Is that the one thing above all things that you are seeking after, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? That was David's desire. Why? Because he had dwelt in the house of the Lord, as it were. He had known that comfort of dwelling with the Lord. He had felt, as Anne Steele felt in the hymn we have sung, he had known that sense of God being his refuge. And David could come in with that hymn. My God, if thou art mine indeed, then I have all my heart can crave, a present help in times of need, still kind to hear and strong to say. David had felt the strength of his Lord, the safety of his Lord, the power and wisdom and unchanging faithfulness and love of his Lord. So that is what he desired above all things and sought after. But what was it that David was desiring? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That is why, in one sense, why I read from the second book of Samuel and chapter 7. We have that account in the previous chapter, in chapter 6, when David went and fetched the ark from Kirjath-Jearim. And I'm sure you all know the account well, and I won't waste time going through it this evening. But David sought to bring that ark into his, where he dwelt. And why did he do that? Because in that ark was God's dwelling place. In that ark, when it was in the temple, it was in that holiest of holies, the dwelling place of God. So David sought to bring that ark back. And we have in that seventh chapter, he wanted to build a house for God to dwell in. He felt that God was dwelling within curtains or in a tent, and felt that there should be that temple built. And we know the account that he was not allowed to build that temple, and his son Solomon had to do so. David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. But our text does not really make sense if we just take it out of the psalm and do not combine it with the other verses that follow after it. We know that David sought to build a house for the Lord, as I have said, and he may have sought to dwell in it in a way as to go up and worship. But then why in verse 5 does it say, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." You know that no one could go into that holiest of holies. It wasn't just a place where anybody could go who felt in trouble. No. Not anybody could enter there. So we must look at our text in a deeper level. David had a deeper desire than just to physically dwell in a material temple. He had a desire for that close union with God, that warmth that he had felt, that light that he had felt that we read of in the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David wanted to feel the closeness, the presence, the comfort, the safety, the security, the hiding place of dwelling with the Lord. Well, that was David's real desire, we believe, from this psalm. But God no longer lives in a temple. God no longer dwells in an ark. God no longer, in one way, dwells in places of worship physically. We cannot go up to the temple to worship. We cannot go up to Jerusalem to worship, or St. Paul's Cathedral to worship, or Swavesey Chapel, or Heathfield Chapel, or wherever it is, unless the Lord meets with us. Then the Lord dwells with us. Then the Lord dwells in our house, our place of worship. That is what the true child of God will desire. And if all your religion consists of is going to chapel twice on the Lord's Day, whenever it is in the week, if that is all your dwelling in the house of the Lord consists of, dear friends, you need a deeper working than that. We need much more than that, as David felt. We need a closer walk with God. Christ dwelling in us. And is that not now the days in which we live? At the time of our dear Lord's crucifixion, what happened in that temple? What happened in that area separating the holiest of holies? Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That curtain that was separating the people from the holiest of holies was ripped from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The earthly temple was no longer God's residence. Christ, coming on this earth, negated the need of that earthly temple, removed the need of those sacrifices, removed the need for those sin offerings. For he himself, the great high priest, was that lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. So, if God no longer dwells in a temple, where does God dwell? Well, we had it in our reading in John's Gospel. God dwells in us. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What a comfort that is. And what a comfort that should be to us as we worship in our homes. As much as we long to gather together once again, we do not have to go to the temple to worship. For God dwelleth with us and shall be in you. Jesus Christ in us through the working of his Spirit. Well, what a comfort that is, because he will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And if you have known a little of that comfort, you will desire more of that comfort. You will desire a closer walk, a closer union, for it is all that can truly satisfy and truly please us. But it can only be by faith, can't it, dear friends? We cannot make ourselves believe. It is the gift of God to believe. We cannot make God dwell in us. It is all his work. It is given unto us. Christ living in us. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. Well, in pondering this text yesterday when I was at work, I was thinking upon these lines. Well, how does God dwell in us? How does the Spirit come into us? And at that point, I was working all day yesterday in some large new industrial units. And I was working at height in these units, probably 30 feet in the air. And all of a sudden, there was a great commotion beneath me. There was a man on his phone, cursing and swearing, all sorts of obscenities that I have not heard for many years in that way. And he was obviously having a large row with his wife or his girlfriend or whoever it was on the phone. He was getting quite violent. He was throwing things around. And I looked down on this poor man and pitied him. I put in my earphones, as I do sometimes when I'm at work, when I'm in those occasions where I need to block out what troubles me and what is around me. And I put them in as he continued his rant. And I turned something on that I had been listening to earlier in my lunch break. And it started with these words. Talking, the Lord's servant was talking about Christ's ministry in the first chapter of Mark. And these words came. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And I looked down at that poor man. And I said, oh Lord, why me? Why is that not me? And these lines of that hymn came into my mind. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come, 'twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced us in. Else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. As I looked down on him from a height, cursing and swearing, I saw the world who cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, dear friend, do you know a little of that comfort, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus residing in you? Does it help you to carry on your daily life, whatever difficulties are ahead of you? Does it? I didn't choose to repent. I didn't make myself believe. It is the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit applying the truth of Jesus Christ unto us. I didn't make myself repent and believe the gospel. If I had been left to myself, I would have been worse than that man. Praise God for his free grace. And praise God that each one of you listening this evening has been kept to the house of God, kept at the means of grace, kept where you have access to the gospel. Oh, may the Lord work in the hearts of each one of you and cause you to do these two things. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, you say, my sins do trouble me. I know I am not what I should be. I fear, I try and repent. I try and confess my sins. But can I believe? Do I really believe that this gospel was for me? How do I know that I am one of the elect? How do I know that this precious blood was shed for me on the cross? By faith, and faith alone. Is it not good enough for you, dear sinner? Is this Saviour not suitable for your sins? Are you too great a sinner for him? Do you think he can't wash even your sins away? Repent ye and believe the gospel. It is in believing, dear friends, is it not? By repenting and believing. And my thoughts went when considering that repenting and believing yesterday lunchtime to that portion in Acts, in Peter's sermon, I believe it is, in the early part of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive Christ dwelling in you, making his heart, your heart, his abode. And his heart, your abode. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I fear there are many in our day and age, and I have said it before and I will say it again, that feel that they must have that blessing before they believe. But no, it is not that way round, is it? It is repent and believe. And as Peter says, repent and be baptized. Then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then ye shall receive the blessing. Then you will continue to receive the blessing by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is why, in one sense, the houses of worship that we meet in are precious unto us, for it is the means of grace. And as faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, if the Lord has worked in your heart, that's why Swavesey Chapel is precious to you, because it is offered where Christ will meet and commune with his people. Well, that is what David sought, that dwelling place. He sought to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, but really, I believe he wanted the Lord to dwell in him, not to cause him to backslide as he had done, not to sin as David did. For David wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, far from it, and neither are you. But David put his trust in the same God as I put my trust in, and as you must put you're trusting. David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. It is a place of safety. We may be fearful of what is around us at this time. We may be fearful of what may be ahead of us. But if we have Christ dwelling in us, the storm of life will soon be past. And if by faith we can look to that mansion in the sky, where God the Father hath prepared those many mansions for his people, if we can look to that rather than the troubles that are around us, feel our feet upon that rock, feel ourselves sheltering in that rock, it will bring us that comfort, that happiness, that peace. But there is another point I would like to bring out, as the Lord may help me. There is that individual thought that Christ dwells in us, and in a way that, individually speaking, we are his dwelling place or his temple. But there is also that portion in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter 3, where Paul talks about God building his church. That foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But a few verses on, we have in verse 16 in chapter 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, Paul here was speaking about the church as a whole, the body of the church. The church in its corporate existence, the church as a whole being the temple. And it is in that uniting together as a group of believers into the church, that is what Christ dwells in. That is where Christ meets. There is to be that uniting together. That salvation, in a way, although complete and all perfect, there is to be that building of stone upon stone, that building of Christ's church, and that uniting together, the temple of God, the church as a whole. That house, and why is it that uniting together? My thoughts go to that hymn, that sacred house, that sacred dwelling place. My tongue repeats her vows, peace to this sacred house, for there my friends and kindred dwell. And since my glorious God makes thee his blessed abode, meaning we believe the church as a whole, my soul shall ever love thee well. So what comfort that brings to us as we worship remotely, knowing that if Christ is with us, nothing can separate us. Many miles apart, do we feel that union and bond one with another? Maybe you haven't seen your fellow congregation for many, many months now. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And why? Because Christ Jesus dwells in us. A sweet thought. And we tremble when we feel our wretchedness, that Christ is dwelling in us. But we look to the old man, don't we? We need to cast our eyes from off ourselves. Look unto one who is greater than us. Look unto that perfect sacrifice that was offered up. Look to one who now sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. The Son of God, truly God and truly man, who looks upon us, sees our struggles, sees our needs, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We do not have a Saviour who did not feel our troubles. David knew that. As my eyes go to a psalm on another page, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Known him in his troubles, comforted in him in his troubles. And when we have those troubles, how often we become brokenhearted, distressed, and upset. But ever remember that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But I see the time is hastening on, and there was something else which greatly struck me in considering this text today. On the last Lord's Day, in the afternoon, I believe it was, I preached from those words in Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, which I'm sure you know well, the account of dear Mary and dear Martha. Those words, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And in pondering our service this evening, it suddenly dropped into my mind what a similarity there is between the text of this evening and that which I have just preached from on the past Lord's Day. The psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." The Lord spoke unto Martha, but one thing is needful. What did David desire? Or he said, that will I seek after. And what did the Lord say unto Martha? Mary hath chosen that good part. What did David say? What did David desire, seek after, or choose? That he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what did Jesus say that Mary, to Mary? He said that that good part could not be taken away from her. The similarities in these things. One thing is needful. One thing have I desired. That will I seek after. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The constancy of it. And why are these two sections so similar? Because they both believed in the same God. They both believed in the same God. David desired this thing and he sought after it. Mary desired one thing or chose one thing. But why did Mary choose? And why did David seek? Well, we have the I have chosen thee. That was why I have chosen you, or however it says in one of those chapters in John. And why did David seek after this thing? Why did David seek after the Lord? Well, if we look down a few more verses in that psalm, we find the answer. David sought after the Lord because we have in verse 8, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When did David seek the Lord? When the Lord sought him out. When did Mary choose, as it were, the Lord? When the Lord chose her and sought her out. And dear friend, when did you seek the Lord? Why did you seek the Lord? Why are you seeking the Lord? Because the Lord sought you out first. It is of free grace. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that we can do to give us that spirit of repentance. There is nothing that we can do to turn our hearts away from the pleasures of the Lord. But there is one thing we can do. If the Lord gives us that true spirit of repentance, if the Lord works within our hearts, if the Lord seeks us out, if the Lord chooses us, if we are caused and wrought upon to repent and to confess our sins, if we are repentant, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot work out our own salvation, but we must follow the Lord. We must follow the Lord, not as a chore and not as a, not unwillingly, but we should follow the Lord. Because then the Spirit will dwell with us. Then the Spirit will commune with us. Then the Spirit will dwell in us and give us peace and joy and comfort, which cannot be taken from us. That good part will be given unto us that Mary chose, that Peter chose, that David chose, that John chose, that Martha chose, that Lazarus chose, that I chose, I trust. Oh, may you choose the same, because the Lord has chosen you. And why is it so sweet to the Lord's people? Why was it so sweet? Why did David desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life? Because he saw a beauty in the Lord. And because he knew that it couldn't be taken from him. So did Mary know that. Mary knew that good part could not be taken away from her. Well, if you have ever had a little taste of those streams of mercy, dear friend, ever remember the streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink about. If we have tasted, we will continue, we will follow on. That good part cannot be taken away from us. We may fear it is, and that, dear friends, is how I feel and have felt that the devil is so powerful in our midst at this time. He knows that that good part that we have chosen, that we have sought after in God's mercy, he knows that it cannot be taken away from us. He knows that everyone, all must be brought safely to land, whether on boards or on broken pieces, whether you feel you are clinging on to the smallest timber, the tiniest slither of wood, you feel the waves going over your head. What you are holding on to, dear friends, is strong enough, is capable enough, because God has chosen you. That good part cannot be taken away. The devil will try and get in. He will try and stir up unbelief and doubts and fears. And we are like that. We are all like that. I do not knock anybody for it, for I have known greatly those doubts and fears. But ever remember that good part cannot be taken away. That hymn, I can't remember, I think I did actually put my marker in it. Yes, I did. Once in him forever, the eternal covenant stands. Once in him, once we are in him, we cannot break out. What did we have to do with the start of our salvation? What did we have to do with the beginning of our faith? Absolutely nothing. And what can be done to take away our faith? Absolutely nothing also. For we put our trust in one that is mighty. We put our trust in God. That is what we are seeking after. That is what we are holding on to. That's all I've got to hold on to, dear friends. That's the only rock that I can shelter in, can stand upon, can feel any safety in. As we see the things in the world at this time, so changeable, so variable, not knowing what is before us, a week or a month, or let alone a year ahead. May this be our desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And ever remember, you will not get to heaven in just attending the house of the Lord. There must be much more than that, dear friends. There must be a knowledge of the dwelling of the Spirit within. And there's only one way that that can happen: by repentance and by believing, by faith alone. It is by that amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Once I looked at the pleasures of the world. Once I wanted to run away from the house of God and to make my own way and escape these ties. But God sought me out. I had to seek God's face, because the Lord said unto me, seek ye my face. That new heart was put within me. Then I said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart said, Lord, what other face can I see? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple the beauty of the Lord. Do you know anything of it, dear friends? Do you know anything of that beauty? We must know something of it. We must know something of it. And it is only by repentance, by faith, and by believing. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Hymn 329.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, in thy mercy, do forgive anything that I have spoken amiss this evening. And that which has been of thee, do own and bless. And do work in the hearts of each and every one listening this evening, that their desire may be that they will seek after, that they may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of their life and behold the beauty of the Lord. For if they get a glimpse of thy preciousness, a glimpse of thy beauty, if they have leaned on thee for repose, they will come in with that last verse and know that the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never forsake. Why? Because that soul knows that in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. O Lord, do be with each and every one listening. Do spare us each, we pray. Bless us, keep us, go before us. May it not be long before we can worship in thine earthly courts once more. That the doors of Swavesey Chapel and the other places of worship may once more open. And may it be a time of thanksgiving, a time of renewing, a time of increase, a time of great love, a time of blessing. But now, Lord, we part. But may thy presence never part. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forever. Amen.